Good morning. Please stand and join with me in our call to worship, which is the responsive reading number 611 in the hymnals. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. A voice cries, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings. Lift it up, fear not. The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. Our song of worship is number 67, Fairest Lord Jesus, Let Us Sing. Let us pray. O Lord, on this day in particular, we come with heavy hearts and heavy souls to this time of worship. Be with us throughout this service and the days and weeks to come. Strengthen us, encourage us, and keep us, O Lord of the nations. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
We do welcome you to our worship service on this Sunday as we have gathered together. The first Sunday in February. It seems like time is flying. I say that all the time. We do come with heavy hearts this morning, and I think everyone knows, but if you do not, we've had some loss in the life of the church. First, I would like to say that Dr. Ernest Jones, who is the executive minister of the American Baptist Churches in Ohio, passed away this week, and I have not heard anything about arrangements for memorial services, but I'm sure those will be forthcoming. And then, of course, yesterday, we learned late last night that Scott and Deb Nace were killed in a tragic car accident in Pittsburgh. Hannah and Bowen were injured. I think the paper said they had minor injuries. We have learned that Hannah had a broken femur and has had surgery. So we will be in prayer for them. And I know that's on everyone's mind this morning. It's on mine. And so in a few minutes when we have our prayer time, we will have a moment of silence for them and for their families. There are announcements to make. We will not be having our brothers all this evening. That is canceled. And also, actually it was to be this afternoon. And also there will not be a Board of Ed meeting tomorrow. I want to give you a little bit of an update about the Delaware Community Coalition. One phase of it has to do with the relationship between the churches and the community. And there is a group of ministers, right now I think there's 13 or 14, who have gotten together and they've come up with an idea that they would pray for the churches. And their idea is that every week one of the churches that's a part of this group, which I think we hope will be an expanding group, but will be the focus of prayer. It just starts this week, and there's a schedule that will come out, and in the future, in the bulletin and in newsletter, you will see that schedule, and it will tell you which church to pray for during the week. The first church is on the list is First Baptist Church. It's with us. And in conjunction with that, tomorrow afternoon, I will be meeting with these pastors, many of them, and they're actually going to come here and pray for us and pray for me. And then the next week, I think they're going to meet every other week, the ministers will. But I wanted to let you know about this so that when you see that, see the name of another church in town as a prayer concern, you'll know what that is and you'll be able to participate in it. There are things in our future. We are only 2 weeks away from the beginning of Lent. Actually, it's 10 days, but the Lenten Bible study begins on the 18th. We are studying the Gospel of Mark. Anyone who hasn't already told me but would like a study guide, please let me know, and I'll make sure there's one there for you. We have new sign-up sheets in the fellowship time, so please take a moment and consider what you might be able to give by way of those sign-up sheets. And I think it's also a good reminder that we are involved in a missions project. We are raising money for a roof for a friend of Randy's that is in Puerto Rico and still doesn't have a roof. And we took up an offering for that last week, and today is, of course, the first Sunday of the month, and so the benevolent offering will go to that cause. We just want you to be reminded of that. Our mission's focus for the month is disaster relief, so it's quite in conjunction with that. In the remaining three Sundays, if you want to donate money, that money will go actually till the one great hour of sharing, and if you just designate where you would like it to go, because there's many places, not only Puerto Rico, but they are still cleaning up in Texas and in Florida and in California where they had fires and mudslides, and so you have an opportunity to help people out who are in need. I believe those are all the announcements. Yes. We have a women's lunch Saturday at noon. 11:30. Okay. So let's stand together and sing our song of praise, Let the Whole Creation Cry, number 27. Thank you.
Will the ushers come forward for the offering? Let us pray. O Lord, for all that you have given us, we take this time to give back a portion of that which is already yours. May these gifts be used to edify and build up your church and kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. In Christ's name, amen.
David Harris will lead us in the children's message at this time.
Good morning. So today we're going to talk about babies. And so when you see a baby in church, what is one thing that you see a lot of people in the congregation do? So, usually when someone brings a baby to church, everyone, you know, shows it love and affection and care and says, oh, that's a beautiful baby. It's going to grow up to do all kinds of things within the church. And so in the story, or one of the gospel readings for this morning, which is the story of Mark, and it tells of the time in the Bible when Jesus was brought to the temple when he was a small baby. And so, when Jesus was brought to the temple, there are two people that we hear about in particular, Simeon and Anna. And these two older figures within the temple, they lavish all sorts of praise to Jesus. In a similar way to how we sometimes tell babies, oh, you're going to grow up to be this amazing person and do wonderful things in the church. So too did Simeon and Anna tell Jesus that he was going to grow up to do great things in terms of the body of Christ, in terms of the world, and be basically the Messiah. And so I just, the next time that you see a small baby within the church, or even when you're out wherever and you just see a little baby, just think about the ways in which God is going to use that little baby to do magnificent things for the church. Alright, let us pray. Well, Lord, we give you thanks. And on this day in which we acknowledge your presentation in the temple and the grandiose things that were said about you, Lord God. Give us the strength to grow up in our faith and do magnificent things throughout your creation. In Christ's name, amen.
In addition to the ones already mentioned, are there prayer concerns that you would like to share this morning?
I have two. I ask for prayers for Susan Morgan. She is a teacher with me, and she was recently diagnosed with breast cancer and will be having surgery this month. And then also for Kyle Gage. He is a former student and the nephew of one of our teachers. And he's been in the ICU for the last 3 weeks with blood clots in his legs and his lungs. And they're trying to do a lot of tests and find out what's going on. But he is a junior right now and is not able to go to school during this time period.
We have a praise. A Pacers music program yesterday went to OMEA competitions, and the Hayes players got a 1, which is a superior rating. Will also got a 1 on his solo that he played last week for church, so we're really proud. And most of the kids that went yesterday got 1s, and we're really proud of the music program and the teachers that are in Delaware City.
Just ask for prayers for Dan. He's got an injured leg right now, so it's in the muscle of his leg in the calf, so he can't get around very well today. So just prayers for him so he can be back in church again.
Prayers for the congregation and those who couldn't make it this morning, and for the entire community.
Brennan has a prayer request for his friend Ronnie. If some of you were at the Halloween party, he was the little boy with us. He's having some very serious mental issues and is in the hospital. So if you can keep him in your prayers.
I want to have a praise. My sister's surgery went well on Wednesday. She starts radiation treatment in 2 weeks and chemo in a couple of weeks later after that. So thank you for your continued prayer.
As we enter into this time of prayer this morning, let us have a moment, a minute or so of silence in prayer for the family of Dr. Jones and for the Nasis and for our congregation. Shall we pray silently? Dear God, we are grateful that we are able to come to you in prayer. And when someone is sick, we can pray for healing. When someone is in trouble, we can pray for deliverance. When someone is down, we can pray that they be lifted up. And when someone is up, we can rejoice with them. And we are thankful that you hear, that you listen to the words that we speak, but that you also know what's in our hearts. We come to you saddened this morning because of a loss that is felt within our congregation and in our community and in our denominational family. And we pray your blessing upon us. We pray for the families of the lost. We pray for Hannah and for Bowen. We pray for Scott and Deb's parents and their brothers and sisters. We pray for the people that they work with that are stinging with grief. We pray for Dr. Jones and his family and for the loss to our denominational life in Ohio that we are experiencing. We are thankful that we have the hope of resurrection, and we know that we are not devastated, that we are not in despair, that our grief comes with that hope. And we pray that you would make a reminder in each of our hearts of your grace during this time. We pray that each would be comforted and strengthened and encouraged. And we would pray that we would be there for each other, and as we have opportunity, for those who have experienced the losses most grievously. We pray that you would be with our congregation. We pray that you would be with our community, our country. And Lord, we pray that your will would be done in the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, how he loves you and me. It's number 2108 in the Faith We Sing. Shall we stand together and sing the song of meditation?
Our scripture reading this morning is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 16 through 23. When I preach the gospel, I have no reason to boast, because I am obligated to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. If my preaching is voluntary, I have a reward. But if it is not voluntary, I am still entrusted with a responsibility. What then is my reward? That in preaching the gospel, I may offer it free of charge, not making full use of my right in the gospel. Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a servant to everyone, to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do this for the sake of the gospel, that I might share in its blessings. May God add a blessing to this, the reading of his holy word.
Thank you.
Our text today has one of the interesting, perhaps more interesting, lines in all of Paul's letters. I have become all things to all people, that by all possible means I might save some. It's good to remember the context. In chapter 8 of 1 Corinthians, the chapter before this, the topic is how to handle food that has been sacrificed to idols. And there are some in the church at Corinth who have kind of noticed that an idol doesn't really represent anything real, and so food sacrificed to something that is not real is just food. While there are other people, perhaps, who are coming from those religious traditions that took those sacrifices very seriously, that do not experience that freedom, at least not in the same way. One of the things that Paul tells them is to be wary, or at least be aware, of the freedom of other people and of their circumstance. I'll read the text that sort of gives us a background. It comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Be careful, however, that the exercise of your rights does not become a stumbling block to the weak. For if someone with a weak conscience sees you, with all your knowledge, eating in an idol's temple, won't that person be emboldened to eat what is sacrificed to idols? So this weak brother or sister for whom Christ died is destroyed by your knowledge. When you sin against them in this way and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if what I eat causes my brother or sister to fall into sin, I will never eat meat again, so that I will not cause them to fall. It is in the context of that conversation that Paul comes to a discussion of his own freedom in the gospel. The main idea seems to be that he has a right as an apostle to make a living from preaching and teaching. Now, the issue for Paul does not derive from the church in Corinth's unwillingness to pay him. As a matter of fact, the issue is that they want to pay them and he won't let them. He refused to claim his right as an apostle, he said, to exercise his freedom so that he might proclaim the gospel free of charge. He defends the right, the freedom. The other apostles, whoever they were, the other people who were serving faithfully in the preaching and teaching of the gospel and claiming their rights to a living, were okay. But Paul was bivocational. We are told that he was a tent maker, which means he had another profession that allowed him to pay his own way. And this was important to him. Whatever the case, he wouldn't take payment from the people in Corinth, and he wanted to explain to them why. And he makes these remarkable claims. He makes these challenging statements that are very difficult for us. He said that for the Jew, he became like a Jew, as he was, that he might win some of the Jews. And he's saying that for the Gentiles, he became like a Gentile, those who were not under the law. He became like one who was not under the law in order that he might win some that are not under the law. And to the weak, he became weak in order to win some of the weak. He made that summary statement that we have already mentioned, I became all things to all people, in order that by all means I might save some. The whole thing reminds me of my family. My family at home. My mom's side of the family. You see, it was a common sight in my mom's family to see a dispute between two people who were trying to figure out this question. Was one person going to give money to another, and were they going to take it? From time to time, in the back and forth of things between aunts and uncles and cousins, somebody would buy something for the group, maybe, or maybe just give a gift. And somebody else would say, I want to help pay for it. And they would offer money, and the other person would say, no, I don't want your money. This was almost comical in our family because this dispute happened all the time. As a matter of fact, one of the more comical sights in my family was my mom and my aunt, sisters, you see, arguing with one another about who was going to pay for things. I tried to stay out of it. Most of the time it was delightful. Sometimes tempers flared. But I was unable. And I was unable to stay out of it because down through the years, I was asked if I might serve as the minister at 3 of the funerals in the family. One uncle, 2 aunts. And each time I played the game by saying, I won't take money for this. Please don't give me money. This is a gift to the family. And each time I was met with, oh yes, you will. It was uncomfortable for me to be in the middle of this dispute. I could imagine my mom, who by this time was not around, setting her brow, which meant you weren't going to get your way. One time, they sent the largest cousin in the family to intimidate me into taking the money. One time, they sent cash through the mail, and the cash instead of a check, so that I would have to take it. And the check and the envelope was postmarked in some obscure town that nobody lived in, so I wouldn't know who was sending the money. And there was a card that was just signed, the family. In our case, I think, the primary character trait at work was stubborn pride. But this is not the primary character trait at work in Paul. The main characteristic for Paul is love. And that is what he is building towards in 1 Corinthians, because he climaxes his argument not just about food sacrificed to idols, not just about how to handle the Lord's Supper and their fellowship meals, where there were some things happening that weren't right. Not just about how to handle spiritual gifts, which he applauded them for seeking, but he always also had to chide them a little because some of them thought some of the gifts made them more important than the other people that didn't have them. It turns out that part of what Paul wants to do is to set an example for the people in Corinth and for the larger church about how it is to defer. To have something that you could take, but you give up the right to take it for the sake of the other. That's the reason why he didn't want to take their money. It wasn't stubbornness so much as it was an example to them about how they might also exercise their freedom in Christ, always with concern for their brothers and sisters. You've probably heard the phrase, speaking the truth in love. Speaking the truth in love means to speak it with concern not only for the truth that is being told, but also for the people that it is being told to? Something like that is what is happening here. Perhaps we are also aided in our understanding of Paul's insistence that he be allowed to preach free of charge just simply by some lines from one of his other letters, like the one to Philippians, where in the second chapter he says, "Count others better than yourselves. Look not only to your own needs, but also to the needs of others." It is this mindset that is always on his mind. And he climaxes, almost Corinthians, with his famous chapter on love, where he says, "Love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres." Paul is setting an example for the church. That means for us. And he is recognizing that our lives are all wrapped up in the lives of other people, wrapped up in relationships with an array of people that boggles the mind, from all kinds of places and all kinds of backgrounds and all levels of spiritual maturity, all different places on our journey. And that those people are the most important thing. So he is determined to practice what he calls, or what, he didn't call it this, but what some people in the past have called disinterested love. And the reason why I bring that word into it is because it sounds like it's love that doesn't care. Disinterested. Which isn't what it is. It's love that is concerned more about the other than the self. So the disinterest is in one's own concerns. That is a definition of the biblical idea of divine love. A sacrificial kind of love that places the concern for someone else ahead of concerns about one's own life. And so, with this in mind, Paul has decided that he wants to give up his right to make a living from preaching the gospel. He sets aside his freedom, not only for the sake of the weak, he says, but for the sake of everyone. He mentions those under the law and those not under the law, the Jew and the Gentile. But one can imagine there might be a number of other ways which Paul might express this truth. That there might be people who are involved in numbers, in any number of kind of activities that in their freedom would seem okay. But if it causes problems for other people in the church, he would defer. It is very difficult to be all things to all people. For most of us, it might be better for us to endeavor to be some things to some people. This is the challenging example that Paul has given. I don't get the impression that the other apostles felt the same way. At least not about taking the money. But it sits there before us as a challenge and as an example of how we might exercise our freedom in Christ. And I am sure that each of us will give attention to this example and how it might be followed in our lives, the ways in which each of us might be called to sacrifice, to defer, to think more and care more about somebody else than about the simple exercise of our own freedom. That is our message for today. I have to be honest that it doesn't seem to me like it's all that important of a message in view of what we have learned today. If you are like me, the news that has met us today has left you stunned, just surprised. And that is okay. Being all things to all people, perhaps today means, for us, to be a source of comfort and strength and encouragement to one another. And to think about the ways in which we might help. To help the Nace family if we have opportunity. To pray for the Jones family and for the ABC family that we are a part of. It's okay for us to grieve and be surprised and to be caught a little bit off guard. And when things like this happen to me, that's what happens. I just am off. I can't remember to do things. I feel tired. I would like to say, though, that one of the things I don't feel is in great despair. All of these feelings come, but my hope is not diminished. I think they're just natural. Natural feelings that come when we experience these losses, when we are given such a blunt reminder of how precarious life is, how short. Perhaps it is good for us to also be guided and directed towards even farther out in 1 Corinthians in chapter 15, where Paul reaches his climax by discussing the resurrection of the dead, where he tells us that death has been swallowed up in victory, and therefore it has lost its sting. Therefore, my dear brothers, he says, and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. And I think those are the words that I will leave you with today. Let us pray. Dear God, we are grateful for this wonderful example of love that Paul writes about and that he embodied. Help us to share it and to embody it amongst ourselves. Comfort us in our grief, strengthen us in our weakness, encourage us when we feel faint. Make us aware of the precious gift that is each other that you have given to us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of response this morning is number 2130, and the faith we sing, it is the summons. Let's stand together and sing. Today we have the opportunity to share, as is our custom, in the Lord's Supper, and we invite you to join with us at this time. Let us pray. In these quiet moments, O Lord, help us to remember to place ourselves at that scene of the Last Supper. Help us to hear the words, "This is my body, broken for you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you." Help us to hear the words, "Do this in remembrance of me." And may they be words that unite us, that strengthen us, words that encourage us, that our communion would be with you and with each other and with our brothers and sisters in Christ around this town and around the world who share this bread and this cup. And make us aware that every one of our neighbors, even the ones who do not share this cup with us, might someday, and thus might be among our family. We pray that you would bless the bread and the cup as we share it together. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.
After the meal was over, he took the bread, he broke it, blessed it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you."
Likewise, he took the cup, and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you. he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Whenever you drink all of it, drink it in remembrance of me." Shall we stand for our fellowship circle and our fellowship song?